And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and after a lengthy hiatus, I am thrilled to be back stretching out my podcast legs and thrilled to welcome back a very good friend of mine, JC Sherbert from 24/7 Sports. He joined the show last year to do a little signing day preview, and JC, you are kicking off the 2014 season of the Eye on College Football podcast, so I appreciate you taking out some time here on this Monday to do so.
Yeah, definitely honored to be kicking it off here in 2014. Goodness, it doesn't seem like it should be that year quite yet.
No, certainly not. You know, as we go into National Signing Day, particularly here in these last 4 or 5 years, it is tough to not start with the Crimson Tide. And though Alabama had a disappointing finish to the season with the Iron Bowl kick six loss, and then really an embarrassing loss to Oklahoma in that Sugar Bowl, it still looks like they're going to finish with the top class in this recruiting cycle. And you even believe that they're still in the running for even more 5 stars that they could add to this haul right now.
Sure. And I think they're probably done. They're in the running for, you know, Rashawn Evans, the top outside linebacker in the country out of Auburn High School. But, you know, he's the top outside linebacker in the country out of Auburn High School.
Right.
So I don't know how realistic that is. You know, they're kind of in the mix for Malachi Dupree, the 5-star receiver from New Orleans. But, you know, I think LSU, Florida State, and even UCLA may be more realistic options for them at that point. Yeah, I think Alabama's pretty much done, you know, barring a surprise on signing day. But if you look at the class, you know, it's 25 strong. They've got guys, you know, in the lower part of the class, which is what makes it impressive, that, you know, are excellent players, which would rank probably, you know, among the top 10 commits of most programs, even in the SEC. So that's, you know, that's kind of the impressive thing about what Nick Saban and his staff do. You know, they hit their numbers every year, they fill their needs, and they fill their needs with quality. And so that's why, you know, regardless of what happened in the Iron Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and by the way, A.J. McCarron blamed that on recruiting analysts. And I don't know how you blame us for, you know, a field goal return like that. And, you know, you're the most dominant team in college football during the season until that game. But, you know, whatever floats his boat. And, I just completely disagree. But, you know, that's why Alabama's good, you know, because they have the talent.
Right.
You know, talent behind talent behind talent. You know, one of those 5-star running backs that I guess, you know, didn't really have that many entitlement issues or whatever, Derrick Henry, you know, certainly put on a show in the Sugar Bowl, you know, and we didn't even really hear that much from Derrick Henry during the season. And that kid could end up being the freak of all freaks. So that's, you know, that's what Alabama does well. You know, is this class, you know, you look at the top of it, like you look at the top of Texas A&M's class, you have the number one quarterback in the country, Kyle Allen, and the number one receiver in Speedy Noel, and the number one defensive end in Myles Garrett. It's a heck of a class, ranked third in the country by 24/7 Sports. And then Ohio State, who's number two, they have all this versatility and athleticism. You know, Alabama's just kind of like hit their numbers. You know, a lot of their higher-ranked guys are defensive players. But you look, and it's just the depth. I mean,
yeah.
One after the other, these guys can play, you know, and shoot, you know, if they'd have gotten 2 or 3 more guys to come their way late, it could have been the highest rated class numerically in the history of modern football recruiting coverage. As it stands now, it's still going to be, you know, probably the number one class, barring something crazy happening. Also the 4th straight recruiting cycle that Alabama has signed the number one class in the country, and that's pretty unprecedented. So, you know, things are continuing to roll in Tuscaloosa, entitlement issues and all.
Right. Well, I didn't agree with McCarron's comments either, but almost from a different angle, because I think that what he was seeing, it was almost like a grandpa get off my lawn making excuses, because a growing sense of entitlement, I think you could take that and not necessarily say it was Alabama specific. It just seems like right now, you know, just there is a different crop of younger star. I mean, do you see at least a little bit of wanting to be able to make that instant impact. I think if you're a recruit and you see what Johnny Manziel or Jameis Winston or that these players can do so early, that yeah, I think it is only human nature that you think that you, you know, being considering yourself one of the best players in the country, that you would like to do that as well. I don't think that was an Alabama specific thing at all.
Oh no, you know, and look, it's a football is a developmental sport. And different guys develop at different times. And I think one thing, you know, Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston, we mentioned those guys, they didn't do what they did as true freshmen. They redshirted.
Right.
You know, and they came in that next year. And then that redshirt year really helps. I mean, you know, people want to know how did Michigan State win so many games this year and why were they so good? Well, they got a lot of guys that are in their fourth and fifth year. And in football, Chip, you know, you can't go and play all summer 5-on-5 basketball. Like, you know, you can't go do that in football. You can't go play hundreds of baseball games or hundreds of games like you can in baseball. I mean, it's a
your body
gladiator type sport. And so the more experience you have playing the game full speed and pads, not 7-on-7, not camps, not working out and doing all that good stuff, but the actual game in pads. You know, it's a situation where, you know, those guys are going to be, you know, a little bit better sometimes, regardless of how talented you are. And so from that standpoint, you know, I think too many times the guys in high school, they're high school kids. So, and they're obviously on Friday nights the very best players on their high school teams. They have elite size, athleticism, whatever. I think a lot of times high school kids, they get caught up in, you know, recruiting rankings and, you know, 7-on-7 and all that. And they don't understand that, you know, there's still work to be done.
Right.
And I think, quite frankly, that's indicative of our society. I don't think it has very much to do with, you know, as AJ said, some guy sitting on the internet behind his computer, blah, 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 blah. I think what he said was more of a product of butthurt because as the leader of that football team, you know, he obviously failed
in
helping to lead some of those guys. But I do think he speaks to a greater issue with society and quite frankly, with a lot of athletes out there nowadays. And honestly, Chip, I think that, you know, it's easy to blame a high school kid for being dumb, you know, because I was dumb when I was in high school. You were, we all were.
Yes, absolutely.
I would like to go back in time and beat myself in the face with a box of doorknobs as a high school student. But it's some of their parents and the adults that are like the hangers-on, you know. I mean, we had a 7-on-7 coach one time say on the record that the day is coming when kids will skip their senior year of high school football and just play 7-on-7 to avoid it. Well, that's ridiculous because that takes an entire year of development, like we talked about, playing the game full speed in pads. They're never going to get any better. I mean, we want to know why there's so many bad quarterbacks out there nowadays. Because they don't ever get hit.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's you know, that's the issue there. It's not ranking them according to talent and all that. And I do think that goes to some guys' heads, but, you know, it's not. I don't necessarily think it's the media. I think it's the, you know, unrealistic expectations.
It's society, helicopter parents and such.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, so Malachi Dupree, maybe not Alabama. You think that's LSU, Florida State, perhaps UCLA. Florida State, you know, you might think that with the loss of defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt, with the extra time that they had preparing for the national championship, you know, they might almost be behind the curve. But I know that you've written this, and I believe this. This has been really from Jimbo Fisher and Coach Brewster and the rest of that entire staff. It seems like this class was sort of put together over a longer period of time, and that made the BCS title run not a hindrance to this class. Who do you like in this group, and who should Seminole fans have their eyes on?
In terms of the group currently committed, you know, you look at Florida State, they're number 5 right now. You know, Travis Rudolph is like a Rashad Greene 2.0 type of guy. You know, very smooth receivers, got good speed, showed out the Under Armour game. Dalvin Cook, you know, I think can have a C.J. Spiller type of impact. He's that kind of back, 5'11", 190, but with blazing speed. And, you know, even with Florida State, you know, they've got some running backs there. Even with that, You know, I think we'll hear Dalvin Cook's name a lot next year. So I really like him. Their linebackers are very good. Kane Dobb is kind of an inside guy, a thumper. And then Jacob Pugh is a big outside guy. And Dylan Purifoy is kind of a swing guy. Chad Mavity can help on the offensive line right away. And they've got another quarterback that they like, and J.J. Cosentino out of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I think at some point we'll learn not to argue against Jimbo Fisher's quarterback evaluation. So I think that it's a very good class. Now, what they could get, you know, they're in it for Dupree. Like you mentioned, Ermon Lane, who's the one of the top two, three receivers in the country out of Homestead, Florida. He's likely to commit to Florida State, sign with Florida State on Wednesday. Malik McDowell, who's one of the most fascinating recruitments, you know, in the country out of Southfield, Michigan, the Detroit area, 6'7", 290-pound DND tackle. Looks Michigan-bound most of the cycle. Mary likes Michigan State. Mom likes Florida State. You know, parents like Ohio State, too, so he could end up anywhere. And then I think FSU is going to steal Derek Nnadi, the 6'1", 305-pound kind of run-plugging D-tackle out of Virginia Beach. So, you know, FSU has, you know, I mean, a lot of good commits right now, but it could be the best close in the country on Wednesday, sort of similar to the Bowden years, you know, when FSU would, you know, always be that school that finished with a bang. You know, there's not as many guys that wait nowadays. You know, FSU could sometimes get 10 guys in one day or whatever. You know, so if they get 7 or 8 or even 6, you know, that's a huge day for them, and they'll shoot up the rankings. They'll probably have a good shot at being number two.
So this was another, by the way, if you go to CBSSports.com, JC has written his top 10 storylines to watch for National Signing Day. A very good piece. It's a good primer if you're trying to get hyped up. And, of course, we will have a Signing Day live show that you can stream on CBSSports.com. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., hosted by Bruce Feldman, Jeremy Fowler, Ryan Bartow, and Steve Wilfong from 24/7 Sports. Appearances from Urban Meyer, Kevin Sumlin, Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Butch Jones, Jim Mora, Bo Pelini, and many more. And in JC's sort of Signing Day primer, you talk about Michigan State, and you know, McDowell is one of three or four guys that are sort of, you know, impressive prospects that they could be in here to close. You know, you're coming off the Rose Bowl finish, but at what point is Michigan State sort of jumping up into there in the same conversation as a, you know, a Penn State, a Michigan, an Ohio State? Currently, they're sitting around number six, according to the 24/7 composite, in the Big Ten. Do you think that they could jump up there and finish with sort of a top three class in the conference?
I definitely think so. You know, if they can land McDowell and some other guys, I think that they will finish inside the top 20, which would probably have them battling Penn State for that number three class in the Big Ten. You know, that being said, Chip, I don't think it matters. You know, I was talking to somebody about Michigan State. Oh, can they finally get a top 15 class? Who cares? They won the Rose Bowl. They were one of the best teams in college football. And, you know, sometimes, Chip, a team will recruit at a three-star level, and you watch them play, and then maybe they have a great coach there. Let's take Arkansas with Bobby Petrino was there. You know, Bobby Petrino, a great play caller, recruited about a three-star level out there. Well, he leaves, and the bottom falls out. And how you can kind of tell this is when a school produces, you know, a lot of wins, not a lot of NFL players. Well, at Michigan State, you know, they have half a dozen guys off that defense for the play of the league. So they're not just going out and coaching up less talented guys and winning games. You know, they're very good coaches. They're going and out evaluating the recruiting industry, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, all these schools. And I'm not saying that they have more talent than Ohio State, but they have a lot of talent.
Right.
And so I think that the onus is not necessarily on Michigan State to go sign a bunch of five stars now or act like they've arrived. I think the onus is on us as a recruiting industry, you know, to start taking a look at the guys that they offer and evaluate and things like that, and taking a closer look at them and trying to raise ourselves to their standard, you know, to see more what they see and evaluate them more fairly. You know, I think the same thing sort of happened with Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech used to kind of sign the number 40 to 50 class in the country every year in the Mid 11 games. Well, now I think, you know, after that success over time, and then like Michigan State, Tech produced a lot of NFL players, you know, we started looking at it a little more. And I'm not saying that, you know, we only look at the power schools or anything like that, but, you know, you see a kid come out of nowhere and he commits to a Michigan State or a Virginia Tech, he doesn't have any other offers, you know, it's in your mind, you kind of look at it like, well, it's an under-the-radar sleeper type, you know, and sometimes maybe if you look a little closer, you'd see, well, it's more like a guy that just nobody else found, and these guys found them. So, you know, I think that with Michigan State, it's more a situation of, you know, us looking at them a little more close than maybe them trying to recruit at a higher level. I thought their class last year, Chip, was one of the most underrated in the country. I mean, I looked down their commit list. I'm like, I like this guy. You know, there weren't very many guys I didn't like. So
it's one of those, you ask yourself, what are they seeing? You know, you try and put yourself in D'Antonio, Narduzzi, the rest of that staff's head, and you sort of figure out, like, wait a second, this guy might be a perfect fit for their puzzle.
Exactly. And you know, they also, like I said earlier, they redshirt a lot of guys up there. So even if you have a guy at Michigan State that's a three-star talent and, you know, he's going into year four of playing Big Ten football and the other guy, you know, maybe Michigan or whoever, they have to play a redshirt freshman or a true sophomore and he only has 2 years of experience. And sometimes that's a better football player, you know, that has that experience, you know, not all the time, but sometimes it is. And, you know, it takes 11 on the field and, you know, sometimes it just comes down to, like, you know, who's better on that day with that particular 11. And if you can evaluate players and you can build depth and redshirt guys and get experience, you know, then you're really not going to lose that often, regardless of what kind of talented team you're playing.
Right. All right, let's go through a little bit of a lightning round, sort of let the listeners know a little bit about some of these top uncommitted prospects and who they will be possibly selecting. Let's start right at the top. Adoree Jackson, track star, phenomenal athlete, plays cornerback. This is part of, as you wrote about in the storylines, the big three from Los Angeles. He's deciding between Southern Cal, Florida, and UCLA. What are you thinking Jackson will finally do on Wednesday?
I think LSU's that number three team, and they're kind of a sleeper team. I recently changed my prediction on Jackson from USC to Florida just based on some things I was hearing. You know, Florida is wanting to play him at wide receiver, and Florida has nobody at wide receiver even close to the playmaking ability Adoree Jackson has.
Gators fans agree with you wholeheartedly.
So that's number one. Number two, you know, just getting some feedback and some things I've heard about, you know, kind of the USC visit not going as well as he had hoped or they had hoped. You know, and there's confidence on Florida's end and there's less confidence on USC then. So reading the tea leaves, I say Florida. Florida's always been, you know, a big factor. You know, then again, anything can happen between now and Wednesday. Sarkisian and those guys can really recruit, and, you know, he could end up signing with the Trojans. But I think it's between those two, unless LSU just comes out of nowhere and gets him, which they could. But I think right now I would pick Florida, and if it's not Florida, I think it's USC.
Staying out there sort of in the California vibe, what do you think about Juju Smith and who is in the running there? Is he part of – I don't have it your signing day storylines. He's part of that, you know, could potentially be this Notre Dame-California contingent, right?
Exactly. And Notre Dame, you know, Notre Dame really likes him a lot, and he likes Notre Dame. And he's sort of been – you know, his recruitment for most of the process, and there's been five schools. There's been the – you know, the two Los Angeles schools and UCLA and USC. And then he, you know, early on he went Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame. And Notre Dame rose to the top of that Midwestern trio, I guess, if you want to call it that. But, you know, Oregon has made a move here. And Oregon right now, Monday before signing day, is my pick. Now it's kind of going out on a limb there because I think Long Beach Poly kid, you know, everybody thinks USC is going to get some momentum and get in. But, you know, I had USC pick for a while too, and Notre Dame before that. But you know, just sort of reading the tea leaves and seeing who's confident right now and who's not. You know, Oregon is confident, and you know, that's the Ducks. You know, sometimes will come in and get a guy. You know, so you gotta kind of watch them if you're recruiting against them. But I think, you know, as things stand today, Oregon's my prediction. I could always go back to USC or Notre Dame if intel changes, but I think right now, you know, it's going to be one of the big surprises is that Juju Smith will probably, you know, in my opinion, Oregon's got a good shot at landing him.
Some hometown guys, you think Rashawn Evans, number one outside linebacker, stays at home with Auburn?
Absolutely. You know, I can't see him going to Alabama, you know, at the end of the day. He's an Auburn guy from an Auburn family, from Auburn High School. And I just don't see them, you know, letting him get away, you know, and go to the arch rival. I think that would, you know, that would be sort of unprecedented. And, yeah, Alabama's in it, and he's given them, you know, they've given him a lot to think about. But I still go back to after the Georgia game, after the Iron Bowl. I mean, it was like Rashawn Evans was about to commit to Auburn. But those kind of feelings and loyalty don't subside, you know, based on some official visits or an All-Star game. I mean, it doesn't really go away. And I think that Auburn, you know, in the end, Auburn will land him and have a really good, really good class.
Georgia fans very, very nervous. The defensive end Lorenzo Carter, they're from Norcross, might go somewhere else. What are you thinking for Carter?
No, I think Carter, you know, has been sort of ticketed for Georgia for a while. Of course, Laramie Tunzel last year was ticketed for Georgia, and Ole Miss ended up with him. So I think to a certain extent, that's probably what the Georgia fans are kind of nervous about, is they thought they had Tunzel up until the end, and that they didn't. So I think that, you know, right now, just looking at it, based on everything I've heard, you know, Jeremy Pruitt getting involved there and things like that, you know, I think Carter will end up at Georgia. And I think he's a good scheme fit, you know, for what they're going to do. He's a pass rusher. They need pass rushers. You know, he's a guy that can kind of stand up or put his hand down. So I think Georgia gets him, and I think it's a good day for the Dogs on Wednesday because of it.
Do you think he plays that, like the way that Pruitt almost used Christian Jones in both ways this past season, where he can't, like he might be down, might stand up, and just sort of use that to as a wild card in his multiple fronts defense?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and that's the thing. You know, Pruitt actually took taking that job was actually good from a personnel standpoint because Grantham used guys like that. You'd see these taller center, you know, guys, you know, that could pass rush. And you know, Georgia had, you know, as flawed as that defense was sometimes the last 2 years, it was still one of the better pass rushing teams in the country because of the exotic blitzes that he ran with that personnel. And, you know, you look at Florida State and kind of how they plugged in pieces and took advantage of their versatility. And, you know, that's right up Jeremy Pruitt's alley. So, yeah, I definitely think he'll get a lot of use out of Lorenzo Carter, maybe as soon as next year.
When it comes down to actual the Wednesday, National Signing Day, for the most part, a lot of, you know, the BCS, a lot of college football programs have a good idea of what their class is. There might be one or two surprises, but a lot of these big names that we'll be announcing on television and picking hats and holding press conferences at their schools, it is the same, you know, 10 to 15 traditional power programs that are in the running. Just real quickly, we'll send you out here on this. What power program do you think has the most to gain as far as all the different signing day announcements? And then what of those traditional powers do you think might have the most to lose?
I think to gain, it's probably Florida State. You know, I think that, you know, you just look at the guys they're in on, you know, players from Virginia to Missouri to Michigan and all over Florida. I think, you know, I think Florida State could really, really close strong. The most to lose, you know, in my opinion, it would be a tie between USC and LSU. LSU is going to finish pretty good. You know, I think Trevante Valentine, a big-time D-tackle, is definitely coming their way. They're getting him out of South Florida. You know, they could get some other guys. But if Kenny Young, and Kenny Young looks like he's going to UCLA, and then Malachi Dupree both leave the state, you know, that's kind of an unwelcome development during a year where it was an unprecedented group in Louisiana. And you got to recruit your state, you know, if you're going to be successful in the SEC. And LSU has certainly done that over the years. But then you look at it, if they lose Dupree, that's four of the top five in the state, actually six of the top seven in the state, five of the top seven in the state, leaving the state and going to Alabama, A&M, wherever Dupree goes, Florida, Alabama, you know, and you lose guys like that out of your state. It's not a good thing, considering the level of talent that was in Louisiana this cycle. And then USC, you know, I don't know that you would call it losing if they didn't land Jackson Smith or Damian Mama. If they got swept of all three, that would be bad. But I think Mama's pretty much done. It'll be big for them if they can get two of the three. Because okay. UCLA finished with a flurry last year. You know, getting two of the three, or you know, at least you know Mama and one other, would sort of make a statement, you know, from Steve Sarkisian that, hey, he's going to be back and recruiting the top LA guys. And they're capable of landing him.
He is J.C. Sherbert, the National Recruiting Director for 24/7 Sports, our year-round partner for all the latest in recruiting. You can follow him on Twitter at J.C. Sherbert. J.C., my man, I thank you so much for doing this once again. I'm sure the fans will be following you for all the latest. We'll be in touch on Wednesday, and I look forward to catching up with you again this summer.
All right. Hey, appreciate it. Be good, bud.
All right. Talk to you later. My thanks to JC again to hopping on. Follow him on Twitter, of course, at JC Sherbert. And be sure that you tune in to Signing Day Live on CBSSports.com. Adam Azer, Bruce Feldman, Jeremy Fowler, Ryan Bartow, Steve Wilfong. We've got appearances from Urban Meyer, Kevin Sumlin, Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Butch Jones, Jim Mora, Bo Pelini. It is going to be a lot, and it'll be from 9 a.m. Eastern Time to 5 p.m. And of course, at the Eye on College Football, we will have you covered with all the latest. We'll be having reactions to the biggest announcements and in keeping you informed. For J.C. Sherbert, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.